Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And what a blessing it is just being in the house of the Lord this evening. If you have your Bibles with you, look with me to the book of Genesis in chapter 6. Genesis in chapter 6. A few weeks ago, we started a new series on the life of Noah. And what a blessing it already has been. And I know for me, as far as studying and preparing to preach and teach on the life of Noah, we know that Noah's life gives much insight into the history of man and why God destroyed the world with the great flood. When you think of Noah, your mind goes to the great flood, no doubt. Animals being, you know, saved as well, all the different things there. And so, and the Bible has much to say about the life of Noah. In that first lesson, we actually looked into the New Testament to see what Christ had revealed to us in the New Testament concerning how God would use Noah and all the different things. And so we found several places in the New Testament that God used the life of Noah. And, of course, in Hebrews Hall of Fame there, and especially in Hebrews Hall of Fame. And we'll be touching on that just a little bit even tonight. But so we've studied many things. After we looked at the New Testament, then we looked at, and we're still there, is the conditions of the world during that day and age that God destroyed the world with the flood. And we know that it's important because the Bible is what God has recorded for us. And there is a reason for everything that's found in the Bible, everything. And I think that there's much in the Bible that tells us that we ought to learn from what took place with humanity when God destroyed humanity and the world the first time around. And, of course, we know that we have the promise that He will never destroy the world with a flood again. And we have the rainbow as God's evidence of God's promise for that. And although we know that this world will be destroyed again, and it will be destroyed this next time by fire and totally destroyed. And then He's going to create a new heaven, a new earth, and all the different things there. But the condition of the world is what we've been looking at. After Cain's rebellion and the murder of Abel, he rebelled, first of all, concerning the will of God. And then after he didn't get his way, then he killed and murdered Abel. After that, we find that God banishes Cain from his presence. He curses Cain and he banishes Cain from his presence, realizing that there would be no fellowship. In chapter 4 and verse 16, it reveals that Cain was banished from the presence of God. He would not be able to communicate with God, and because of his sins and God's judgment upon his heart. And he never did want to get things right. He never wanted to put his faith and trust in doing things God's way. And so we find that he was banished and there would be no fellowship. Cain begins to populate the earth. He begins to populate the earth. That's what the Bible reveals to us. There's just two genealogies in the beginning. And the first is a brief genealogy of Cain and his early descendants. And it reveals much. We preached on that as far as there was some that had to do with working with silver and others having to do with working. So there was a lot of construction on earth through Cain's seed. There was developments. And we don't know just how sophisticated the world was when God destroyed it with the flood. There's speculation, but no one truly knows. And the Bible doesn't say exactly, but the Bible says that there was production. And there was those that were building and all on and on and on. So Cain begins to populate the earth. The Bible reveals that the first ones to begin to populate the earth would have been the ungodly seed of Cain, without any teachings of God. Had no communication, no connection to God. And so a very heathen beginning to the population of this earth. The Bible records only one godly seed from Seth, leading to the birth of Noah. Now, even Adam and Eve, after they had Seth, they had many other children. They lived some 500 years afterwards, and for 500 years continued to have children. And there was others. The world was growing in population. But the Bible, God chose to give us a genealogy of Cain and a genealogy of Noah. Just one bloodline from Seth. He had many other children. And his children have many children. Adam and Eve are still having children, but only chose to give us one bloodline from Seth that led to Noah. From Adam to the flood, 1,650 years. If you look at what God did give us in the genealogy and look at the obituary of that, the dates and times, you would find that there was 1,650 years man was populating the earth. It's estimated by some, and of course it's an estimation, but all the different ones populating the years, the longevity of those living before the flood was huge. I mean, some lived over 900 years, and we studied a little bit of that. But many believe that the population on earth during that time of the flood was around a billion people. Around a billion people. They had 1,650 years to populate the earth before the flood. And only two of the godly line of Seth, only two were described as those that walked with God. One is found in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. That was Enoch. And Enoch was taken. Amen. He didn't even experience a death on this earth because God just took him home. And the only other person before the flood that was revealed and described as one that walked with God was Noah. With that in mind, I want you to stand. We're going to continue on our study on the conditions of the world before the flood. And we're going to read chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Okay, everybody got their thinking caps on tonight? Everybody tell yourself where you're at. You're not at work. You're not at home. You're not in a hospital. Praise the Lord. You're in church and getting ready to receive biblical truth that will help us in our spiritual lives. And so let's focus in what God has for us, and let's receive that which I believe will be a help to us tonight. And we're just going to read two verses tonight. There's so much here in this that's connected with these two verses, but just two verses in chapter 6. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And let's pray. Our Father, as we bow before you again tonight, we thank you for the opportunity to be in church. Thank you for each one that not only had the opportunity but took advantage of and that are here tonight. And I just pray, God, that you'd bless their faithfulness to be in church on this Wednesday night. I pray that you would bless them by giving them spiritual insight into what you have for each one here tonight. I pray as we study this that we would learn from this and be spiritually helped by this tonight. Empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Go with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews in chapter 11. I want you to see something. Now, we briefly touched on this when we went through and studied what the Bible says about Noah and the New Testament. And chapter 11 is a list of those of the Old Testament that made this Hebrews Hall of Faith, if you will. And what a great lineup of men and women that's in this chapter 11. It's a faith chapter. It's a one chapter in the Bible that actually gives us a definition of what faith is. And it's a powerful chapter of the Bible. In this, now you would think if there was a billion people before the flood, we would have quite a few listed in this hall of faith. There's three. In verse 4, by faith, Abel, the second man-child born. There's Cain, and then there's Abel, to Adam and Eve. He was murdered, though we find here that he's in God's listing of these great men of faith, of the Old Testament. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. First one listed in this Hebrews Hall of Faith is Abel. The second, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Again, we look at the genealogy, and he is within that one bloodline of Seth that leads to Noah that we find the genealogy for in the Old Testament. God said, I want you to know this. I've recorded, I've listed it. And I want you to know something. He was one that walked with me. And I took him. And he's in the Hebrews Hall of Faith. The only other one out of some 1 billion people born before the flood. Only one other. And that's who we're studying. Verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. And that's the end. Only three. For 1,650 years, man reproduced and they filled this earth. But only three made it in the Hebrews Hall of Faith. And two of the three, God records their testimony that they walked with God. So now we get back to where we're at here tonight in Genesis in chapter 6. By the time Noah's children, and if you look back just chapter 5, the end of chapter 5 in this genealogy of Noah, it says, and all the days of Lamech were 770 and 7 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So by the time that Noah had his three sons, there was great evil and wickedness consumed the earth. Down in chapter 6 and verse 5, and we'll get to this a little bit more later on, but I want you to read this, because the Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness, and this is after Noah and had his children, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Mankind had got so far away from God, they had no thought of God in any of their lives. In whatever they did, whatever they were doing in life, they had a society, and they were multiplying on the earth, but they had no thought of God. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil. Look at this. Continually. That's a society. That's the world that Noah lived in and raised his three children in. And there's going to be so much more than that when we look on, but two main reasons recorded. Verse 1 and 2 gives us these two main reasons for what happened to humanity to lead to such a state of mind. It's found in the two verses that we just read. The first would be sexual immorality, and the second would be ungodly marriages. Not that it just started, but it had continued. It had started from the line of Cain. The first genealogy that God records for us in the Scriptures, the first one comes from Cain. right there in chapter 4, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod and the east end of Eden. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. And he built not the same Enoch that come after the line of Seth, but a different Enoch that come after the line of Cain and bare Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of the son. So here it is. They are reproducing and they are populating the earth and they're building cities. And it goes on down. It talks about they had different ones, had different skills, and they worked in iron. They worked in all the precious brass and iron and all the different things. And so they were building. And what the technology was at that time, they had 1,650 years. And mankind was an intelligent being. He was created an intelligent being. And whatever thing, whatever types of technology they would have produced then would have totally been covered up by the flood and is probably way beneath all the ocean floor. And the Bible, God didn't see a need to record everything about that as far as where they were at in technology. But he did record what he's recorded. And that's what we have to learn from. And there was a reason that he recorded, first of all, this ungodly seed line of somebody that had no communication with God, would not have raised any of his children to have anything to do with God, would not have lived with any thought of God because God banished him from his presence. And now he is populating the earth, this ungodly seed. We need to be mindful of what the Bible records, especially as the similarities of society of today are clearly linked. Matthew chapter 24, I want you to see this. We're just kind of laying the foundation here. This is powerful stuff. I want you to see it. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37. Jesus here is teaching, and in his teaching, he says this. Now, he's teaching about the end times, but he says this. But as the days of Noah were, how were the days of Noah? We just read. Society, by and large, was filled with nothing but evil and wickedness. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. When he comes, society is going to be going down that very same road. For as in the days they were that were before the flood, there they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. So we find here that Jesus connects the two. Jesus says what God has revealed to us concerning what it was like in the days of Noah. He said, listen to me, for those that have wisdom and those that want have spiritual understanding to realize this, it's going to be somewhat the same on earth when Christ returns. Wow. Two main reasons. What would lead for 1,650 years, what would lead to them having this kind of society and this kind of thought life? Verse 1, go back there with me now. Everybody with me tonight, you see? Well, I mean, it's Bible. It's what God records. God records these genealogies, only two. The godly seed of Seth only in what led to the birth of Noah, because God has a plan for Noah's life. And the ungodly seed of Cain. And to help us to see that they were building cities, they were multiplying, they were filling the earth. But it was with a population of people that had no regards for God. Had no spiritual insight, had no spiritual understanding. The Bible says when man began to multiply. So it brings our attention to this understanding of what have I told you, God's saying to us, What have I recorded concerning the multiplication? What have I recorded? What have I given to you to understand how that man was reproducing on the earth? You see, that's what we've already studied. We've already seen that. And so we know that we find this ungodly seed line. And there was a godly seed line. But only even in Seth's seed line is only one blood trail. From Seth, he had many children, but it only records that which led to the birth of Noah. And so possibly the only true bloodline, the only true witness on earth was this bloodline that included Enoch. And then it brought into our understanding Noah, that these two walked with God. The ungodly line of Cain, no spiritual conviction. Living on earth, reproducing a bloodline that would have no spiritual conviction. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 16, when the wicked multiply, transgressions increaseth. The more children are being raised to believe in evolution and to discredit the Bible and discredit the fact of a creator God, the more ungodly seed line. And the more the earth is going to be filled with a population of antichrist, which we know at the end time, the antichrists are going to rule. There's going to be religion, but it will be an antichrist religion. Boy, there's a great anti-Christian direction going on right here in America. There would be no denying of their lusts. There would be no conviction of morality. There would be no conviction of what God deemed to be righteous and holy. It would only be what man determined. But without the presence of God inside of man, without the conviction of the Spirit of God, without the Word of God to look to, the Bible reveals to us the direction that man will go. Ephesians in chapter 2. Ephesians in chapter 2. There's much in the New Testament concerning our old nature and what is associated with the sinful nature. Ephesians in chapter 2 and verse 3. Among whom also we had our conversations in time past, before we got saved, before we have spiritual insight, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. All that without God, all that without the awareness of God, this is a sinful nature, and that sinful nature comes after the devil himself and the nature of Satan, which is anti-God all the way. And so it says this is what's going to happen without the presence of God, without the conviction of God. Then there's going to be where the mankind will be led by the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And that's somewhat what Genesis revealing to us is what was taking place with humanity before the flood. And Titus in chapter 1, go over there with me. There's many verses, many passages of scripture I take you to. I'm just highlighting a couple here, but I think you understand and get what we know the Bible reveals and what it's saying in the book of Genesis. Titus in chapter 1 and verse 15 says this: unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. Wow. My goodness. Okay, so that's what's multiplying. That's what's multiplying. The next thing it says, and daughters were born unto them. Now, were daughters being born all along the way? Yes, there were boys, they were little boy, baby boys, and there were little baby girls being born all the time to all the families of the earth. But the Bible records when it's talking about this end time and what's taking place here and the mindset of humanity, it makes a point. God makes a point to help us to see the daughters were born into them. The daughters. Well, the very next verse helps us to understand why he mentions the daughters. Because then he says that the sons of God would be the sons of those that were still being raised to know God. Because those that believed in God and looked to God, then they become his children. And so they would be called the sons of God. Not Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, the only one of them, but all others that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we become the children of God. In the Old Testament, what he's revealing to us here, that these sons of God would have been those that were linked to Seth. Those that God continued to have a relationship with. Those that continued to have a desire to have a relationship with God. Those that would call upon the name of God and call to him and want to fellowship with God and to know God. And so it says here, when this is all going on, the sons of God, and it only records, and there's a reason for this, we'll get into it, but the sons. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men. The daughters of men would have been those that would have been raised by Cain and his descendants. So now it's going back and helps us to better understand why it says when the people began to multiply on the face of the earth, and God says, I want you to understand here, and the daughters were born unto them. I want you to focus on the daughters that were born to those who did not believe in me, that were not raised to understand that there was a God, who was not raised to understand that God had a purpose and a plan for their lives. These daughters. Scripture points out the daughters of Cain, not taught modesty, not taught godliness, not taught holiness, had a huge impact on society. Not blaming it all on the women. Don't get me wrong. But the Bible clearly says, so it's helping us to see, and we'll get into just a little bit more in a minute, the women had an impact on the men. Women have more of an impact on men than what even women realize, good and bad. Wow. The Bible's pointing that out to us. It's what led to the condition of the world being what it was. So these women that he's pointing us to are the ones that would be called the daughters of men, or those that are raised underneath Cain and his descendants that had no fellowship with God, was not taught as God would have the daughters of God to be taught. Those raised to believe in God. 1 Timothy, go over there with me. The Bible says much about raising our daughters. The Bible says much about a Christian family, a Christian home, and how they are to instruct and raise their children, especially their daughters. 1 Timothy chapter 2, 9 and 10. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. That would be women that are would be looked at as the daughters of God instead of the daughters of men. Being raised to know God and have being raised to want to please God instead of being raised not to believe that there is a God. You're just a sophisticated animal and use whatever you can use to get whatever you want. And women realize that they can use their looks because man is affected by their looks. Titus chapter 2. Keep going over just a little bit here. It's all Bible. I'm just connecting the two. Titus chapter 2, verse 3 down to verse 5. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women, because that's what the older women are to do, is to pass on their faith and godliness and God's will for their lives to their children. And their children's children. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Wow. Taking it back to God and His will for their lives. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter, there's much in the New Testament, especially concerning this. 1 Peter chapter 3. Even if a wife has messed up, you married an unsaved man or found out after you got saved that he lied to you and really wasn't saved, how do you win that lost husband? What's most important is that he see that there's something different inside of you. Because that's what's most important about all of us. We shouldn't be so shallow that we don't realize there's more to a life than appearance. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Because wives, you have more power over your husband, and women have more power over a man than what you even realize. I guarantee you, Satan knows it. While they beheld your chaste conversations coupled with fear, that's what he wants you to present to them, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning. Now, not that it's not important. Well, I think every woman ought to try to look her best, as well as every man ought to try to look his best. You ought to look to please your wife, and wives, you ought to look to please your husbands. But it's much more than that. Especially young people looking for a mate for life. It's much more than just looks. Whose adorning, let it not be after the outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. All these things is what you can associate with the daughters of men. In Genesis, that we just read, chapter 6. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, great price. After this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, understanding what God's will was. So the daughters, they impacted society, and they still do. As far back as I can remember, as far back I think as we have records, any kind of recording, you'll find that women have been exploited. Advertisements. What usually, I've often wondered that. We're sitting there watching something and a commercial come across and I don't have it recorded, have to, you know, mute it or what. And it's a immodestly dressed woman trying to sell auto parts. What does that have to do with fixing an engine, a car engine? It has nothing to do, but it has everything to do with your attention. Exploiting that which the world knows will attract a man's eyes. Even though the sons of God ought to known better. They were raised better than that. They were taught better than that. But no matter what, the daughters of men was able to have more of an impact on them than their own parents' teaching. Wow. That's all in the book of Genesis. Magazines. What do they put on the cover to grab your attention? Yeah. Immodest pictures, commercials, advertisements. How far back? Started back then. And the same devil that used it then is using it today. More than, as far as I can remember. Go back with me, Genesis chapter 6. So there's the daughters. The daughters. Sexual immorality. That's what was taking place. Same thing is taking place today. Now the sons of God. The believers, the descendants of Seth. What did it say about him? Saul. Not here. They weren't going out there to listen to what they had to say. They were being led by what they saw. They were being led by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. They were being led by what they saw. The Bible says this very clearly. The sons of God taught differently, knew differently. They were not looking to the daughters of God. They were looking to the daughters of men. That they were fair. Means that, again, wasn't looking at their intellect. Wasn't worried a lot about just what they had inside and what kind of a wife they would make them. They were led by their lusts, attracted to them. You know what happens to the daughters of God when the sons of God turn to the daughters of men? What happens to the daughters of God that do not have great faith? Well, if that's what it takes to get them to look at me, amen. If that's what they're wanting, if that's what it's going to take, then if that has more of my heart and my mind and my call, then I've got to do that to be able to get their attention, then I want their attention. And they start wanting the attention of boys more than they want the attention of God. And so they miss out on what God has for them. And they manipulate getting what they think they want, only to find out what they thought they want really didn't turn out the way that they thought it would turn out. And anytime Satan's leading you, it will never turn out the way he tempts you into thinking it's going to turn out. They saw, they were attracted to them, and this is society. This is going on in every city. This is going on in every block. This is going on with all the billion people at this particular time. And it had been going on, and it was leading to more and more of this kind of thinking and this kind of lifestyle. That's what the Bible records. The second thing, after the sexual immorality, I think without being any more explicit in that and going more in detail, I think everyone here understands. And you can fill in the empty slots there with understanding what's going on today and realizing it's not new. It's what went on even before the flood that caused God to destroy the earth. And that very same, as it was in the day of Noah, it's going to be like that when the earth is destroyed. When the rapture takes place, when the tribulation, the judgment of God upon the earth starts. And then the second thing he says and found here, and as we close in these two verses, the sons of God saw the daughters of men. So this is a son of God, somebody that knows better, saved, looking at the daughters of men, lost, that they were fair. And they took them wives. Whoa. So now they're getting married based on the lust instead of Holy Spirit-led love. Outside of the Holy Spirit-led, outside of God, there is no love in the world. There's only lust. Marriage based upon physical and not spiritual. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're almost done here. Stay with me here. I know. This is not easy preaching for some anyway. They're not easy listening. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It's Noah. It's exactly what the Bible reveals to us concerning the condition of the world when God destroyed the world. We ought to be able to learn from that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It's talking about marriage. A saved man has no business dating, looking at an unsaved girl. A saved girl has no business looking at and especially dating an unsaved boy. Because eventually, if it leads to marriage, you are unequally yoked. How is that, preacher? Well, there's no fellowship. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteous? That's exactly what it is. The daughters of men were unrighteous. The sons of God were righteous. There's no fellowship. And what communion hath light with darkness? One was in the light, one was in the dark. What concord hath Christ with Belial? And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be as separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And look right here, you'll be my children. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. That's the sons of God. That from the seed line of Seth. That's what he's talking about. The lost have no concept of a biblical marriage. Not only today, back then. And the unsaved, if you'll dip yourselves to be able to date an unsaved and marry an unsaved, who do you think is going to have the greater influence over that home? And so now we have the children of God, the men, sons of God, married to the daughters of the world or the daughters of men, now raising a seed of ungodly children, which will impact greatly the next generation, which even will impact the next second generation from there even more so. And however long it goes, maybe 1,650 years, eventually every thought of every man was evil. Wow. Ungodly marriages lead to ungodly parenting. Ungodly marriages lead. And it might not start out to be that bad in one generation, but you continue to have 1,650 years. How long has it been in our own country that things have changed? And look how fast it's going in the wrong direction. Look at morality today, sexual immorality today. Just go back 20 years. Just in what you're seeing on television and what they're allowing anymore. Take marriage today and go back 20 years. Preachers thought they had it bad 20 years ago in trying to keep people being unequally yoked. Look at what we have to deal with today. It's not even about unequally yoked. It's about men with men and women with women. And they getting the blessings of the government to raise children. What is the next generation going to be dealing with? God says, I've recorded what you need to know to realize what it leads to. And it led to such a wicked society that God said, I've got to destroy it. And God is going to bring in a flood. And the only one to be saved is the only one that listened to the preaching of righteousness. Noah, his wife, his three sons, and the three daughters that they were married to. The only ones who would listen to the preaching of righteousness. And God destroyed the world. It's right there. That ought to speak to every one of us. It ought to speak to every parent. It ought to speak to every young person looking to find a mate for life. Follow God. Follow His will. If I could have every head bowed. The godly ought to know better. The sons of God should have known better. But they didn't. And I'm afraid there's too many who know better today, but still go ahead and do it anyway. The conditions of the world, as described to us by God before God would destroy the world with water, the flood. I don't know how God might have spoke to you about that tonight. We always give an opportunity for an invitation. We don't have a public invitation, don't have a musical invitation. God spoke to you tonight. You need to come to the altar. We invite you to come. If you just have something on your heart right now, commit to it and do so. But let the truths of the Word of God speak to us and help us as we move forward for the cause of Christ. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this powerful life of Noah. And everything that you have recorded for us and the purpose for recording what you have recorded in Scripture, I pray, God, that we would continue to learn from it. And to help as many as we can to see the very same truths. Pray that you would be with us now as we get ready to dismiss. Get us home safely. Bring us back the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name.